Welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and Chavruta Yardena Osband, our daf of the day, Masechet Bav Metzia, daf Lamed Dalet, page 34. We're beginning on page 33, as we told you, for the sake of introducing and delving into this third perek, this third chapter of the Masechet, which has, you know, it's going to all feel very familiar to us because we've been referring to some of the concepts and some of the details of this chapter in not only throughout Bav Metzia, but in Bava Kamma, and even before that in Seder Nashim. So I want to just give a little bit of introduction. These are the verses that talk to us about the cases of the Shomrim, of the guardians, and the fines that a thief incurs, and the sin aspect of it as well. So the verses, I'm going to read them in English, but I'll tell you they're in Sefer Shmot, the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verses 6 through 8. So it's really only three verses, but they provide a real meaty kind of discussion here. If a man gives his neighbor money or vessels to keep, meaning to guard, to protect, and the thing that he's given is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, the thief has to pay double. I'm paraphrasing slightly as opposed to the exact translation for the sake of clarity. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house, or Baal HaBayit, right, the original owner, shall approach the judges to see whether he has not misappropriated his neighbor's goods. For every matter of sin, whether it is for an ox or for a donkey, for sheep, for garment, for any manner of lost item, where one says, this is it, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges shall condemn, meaning shall decide that he has to be the one to pay, shall pay double unto his neighbor. So this is really about the case of theft, where one person is guarding an item that is then stolen and the thief is found. And what does he have to do afterwards? And what happens when somebody argues and says, no, I didn't steal it, I don't owe you anything, right? So these are fundamental issues of, let's call it, of deposit, right? If you have a shomer chinam, if you have somebody who is freely watching the item, and then, you know, to what extent is that person culpable for the thief having taken it? And we've said in the past that that's not really the purview of the shomer chinam. We're going to see how this all plays out throughout this parak and more. This chapter is known as, from the first word of the Mishnah that I'm about to read, that's on the very bottom of Amud Bet, or in the very bottom, very close to the bottom, Hamafkid. It's called Hamafkid or Hamafkid, right? And it means literally one who deposits, who leaves as a collateral or as something to be protected, Eitzel Chavero, Behema Okilim. So you leave for safekeeping your animal or your vessels, Venignavu O Shavdu, and then they are either stolen or lost. All of this should sound very familiar because we've talked about these cases a zillion times. Shileim Velo Ratzali Shafa. So the guardian, meaning the protector of the item who didn't do such a great job of it, can pay the original owner the value of the deposit, right, of the item that was with him. If he doesn't want to take an oath saying that he didn't miss, you know, that he wasn't negligent in his guardianship. Sharei amru shomer finam nishba v'yotze. But he could choose to take that oath because we have this principle that the sages said that a shomer chinam, somebody who's watching your stuff without any compensation, can take an oath and then be released from having to pay. So, you know, if you think that you did nothing wrong, then why wouldn't you take that oath and get out of paying? Nimtza haganav. But then if later the thief is found, mishalem tashlimei kefel, the thief pays double, meaning double the value of the item that he stole. Tavach umachar, if he slaughtered if it was an animal and he slaughtered the animal, umachar, or if he sold the item or the animal, mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha, the arba v'chamisha specifically is animals as opposed to some kind of other item, right? Then if he slaughters or sells an animal, then he pays either fourfold or fivefold, meaning the original value of the animal. Lemi mishalem, lemi shapikadon etzlo. Whom does he pay? He pays the person who still has that item that was the deposit in his possession, who had it, at the time that it was stolen, right? Meaning, if the original owner Right. The idea is that he's going to give it back to the shomer, to the this person who was watching the stuff, because he presumably has already paid for his guardianship. Right. Meaning he didn't do a great job. So now he's covered the cost of the fact that he let it go. It was stolen. The thief now has to pay his double. Who does he pay? He pays the person who has kind of acquired the value of that object by having paid the original owner for it. So that's why he's now the shomer, the guardian is now entitled to any payment that the thief would give, because the original owner has already been compensated by the payment from the shomer. Nishba v'lo ratza l'shalem. What happens when you've got a shomer, a guardian who does not want to pay? He does take an oath. He says, I was not negligent. Then nimsa ganav mishalem tashlumei kefel. Then the thief is found, and the thief has to pay double. Tavach u'machar mishalem tashlumei arba v'chemisha. Or if he slaughtered or sold an animal, he has to pay fourfold or fivefold. Lemi mishalem. So to whom does he pay? Lebal ha'pikadon. And again, it says you give that payment then to the owner of the deposit of the thing that the pikadon etzlo, meaning the money state, the value of it was lost when the thief took it. He never got it back from the guardian, from the shomer. So the thief then pays the shomer, which I think is very logical in terms of who's getting which compensation. So the Mishnah lays it out very cleanly, I think, especially since we're familiar with these concepts all this time. It makes it an easier Mishnah to learn until you delve into the Gemara and you realize that Lamed Daled is actually long.
I mean, this reminds me sort of, this is the classic Mishnah, the way that we did in Bava Kama, of like the four types of damagers, right? The fire, human, ox. The Mishnah seems easy, and then you sort of read this Mishnah and it seems easy, but we're going to see the Gemara isn't. And I think you mentioned, like, this is a classic parak of Gemara for people to learn.
Oh yeah. It's okay. One of these like yeshiva chapters. Yeah,
exactly. That's a good way to say it. It's a yeshiva chapter. Okay. I'm going to skip the beginning of the Gemara and actually go down to top of Amud Aleph on our actual daf today on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, where it talks about Shilem v'lo ratza lishvat, right? The shomer was paid and he didn't want to swear. Okay. So whether a pledge wants to know whether or not a pledge to pay is enough. I'm a Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says in the Rabbi Yochanan, lo shilem shilem mamash. When the Mishnah says that the shomer paid, right? Paid does not mean that he actually paid. Ela kemen sha'amar hareini mishalem. Rather, it's once he says, I shall pay, right? Then he receives any future penalty payment. Afal pi shelo shilem, even though he didn't actually pay yet, okay? And that's kind of the premise that they want to deal with here. Is that true? Is it that you actually have to pay in order to get any future penalty payment? Or is it just enough to say, I will pay? So they're going to quote a Mishnah, Tana. We learned in a Mishnah, Shilem v'lo ratza lishva, right? If the shomer paid and he did not want to swear. So what the Mishnah is basically saying is Shilem in. If he paid, then he gets the penalty payment. Lo shilem lo. But if he did not pay, then he doesn't get it. So it doesn't seem that that's Rabbi Yochanan's premise seems to make sense. So the Gemara answers back, Amai Seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah to support Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Nishba v'lo ratza l'shalem. If the shomer swore but doesn't want to pay, right, so then he wouldn't get the penalty payment, what the Mishnah seems to say is, Tama d'lo ratza. What's the reason that he didn't get the payment in this case? Is because he didn't want to pay. Ha ratza. But had he wanted to pay, right, he would get the payment even if he didn't pay yet. It's just about the desire to pay. It's not about whether or not the payment actually went through. And then the Gemara says, so rather, it's impossible to derive from this Mishnah a ruling on Rabbi Yochanan, because one part of the Mishnah seems to go against Rabbi Yochanan, one part of the Mishnah seems to fit with Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara is going to go on from here and try to support Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Tana Kabate de Rabbi Yochanan, there was a braisa that taught in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, Hasocher Para Mechaveiro, somebody rents a cow from his friend, Vinig Neva, and it was stolen, V'amar Hala. And then the renter said, Hareini Mishalem Ve'eino Nishba, I'll pay but not swear. And then later the thief was found, right? The thief pays the double payment to the renter. So what the Braisa seems to say is the shomer acquired the penalty payment just by pledging, because he just says Hareini Mishalem in this particular Mishnah. And it doesn't actually say that he actually, sorry, in this Braisa, it just says that it's Hareini, I will pay, I will, you know, I swear that I'll pay, but it doesn't say that I actually paid. And so this seems to fit completely according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Now the Gemara is going to talk about different types of shomrim. How do they acquire the double payment? Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, shomer chinam keivan she'amar pashati. So once an unpaid, you know, custodian says, I was negligent, right? Like I didn't watch whatever the pikadon was that you left with me, and then it was lost or stolen. Makne leik feila. Then he acquires the double payment. Di'ibai patar nafshe b'gneva. Because if the custodian wanted, he could have absolved himself, right? By claiming that the deposit was actually stolen by no fault of his own, right? But instead, he was saying what? He was saying that, no, it was because I was negligent, that's why it ended up getting stolen. Shomer schar, kevan shamar nignava, right? Once a paid custodian says the deposit was stolen, maknelik fela, he now acquires the double payment. Because if he wanted, he could have just absolved himself from any liability by saying that the deposit broke or it died if it was an animal. Show it, right? And since he didn't, since he just said it was stolen, that's why he now gets the penalty. All right. Show el sha'omer harini mishalem. But if a borrower says, I shall pay for the lost object, lo makne leik fela, right? He does not get the double payment. And the Gemara explains why that is. But my habe leila meftar nafshe, what claim could the borrower have absolved me to absolve himself from any liability that the owner, you know, to cause the owner to agree to give him any future penalty in exchange for the shomer's commitment to pay? B'meita machmat malacha, right? He could have claimed that the animal died because of its work. Meita machmat malacha lo shlich. And the animal dying on account of its work is uncommon, right? And the borrower could not have claimed this exemption without being suspected of lying. It's not a common thing, so that's why somebody wouldn't actually say that. The Gemara is going to go on and give a different version of Rav Papa here. Eka to Amri, there are those who say Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, "Shol nami kevan shama hareini mishalem." Right, even if the borrower says, "I will pay for the lost object," Makni Lake Felik, he actually does acquire the double payment. This is different than what we said before. Because he could have said that he absolves himself for the liability by claiming that the animal died on the count of its work. Now, the Gemara is going to have somebody disagree with Rav Papa, Rav Zvid. Amar le Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid said, Hachi Amar Abai. Abai said the following. Shoal ad she yishalem. A borrower, right, doesn't acquire the penalty payment until he pays for the lost object. My time, what's the reason? Hoel b'kol hana'ashalo, since the entire benefit of a loan is his, b'dibura lo makne leik fela, he doesn't get the double payment to him because of a verbal commitment. In other words, since the lender basically gave the borrower free use of his property, the borrower is obligated to help the lender, who's upset, obviously, that his object is no longer, by promising to pay him. So the borrower's pledge isn't considered a kindness, right? It's not something nice that he's doing. And then the lender would sort of say, like, oh, since you agreed to pay, I'll give you the penalty payment, because it's actually just something that he has to do. That's something that borrower. And then the Gemara is going to give a support to that. Tanya Kavate to Rav Zvid, right? It was taught in a brisa, according to Rav Zvid, Hashol power mechavero. Somebody borrows a cow from his friend. Benignava, and it was stolen. Vikidema shol vishilem, and the borrower went ahead and paid for the animal's loss. Vacharkap nimsa ganav, and later the thief was found. Mishalem tashlami kefil l'shoel. The thief pays double payment to the borrower. So it seems this brisa seems to say explicitly the borrower only gets the right to the penalty payment by actually paying the animal's loss, not by just pledging it, as we saw in the previous brisa. From there, the Gemara is going to talk about whether this brisa actually disagrees with Rav Papa, and then they're going to finish up that they're going to finish up that discussion. I just want to, and then finally, the Gemara will get into a bunch of questions about the Shomer's sort of voluntary sort of, you know, that they volunteer to accept the obligation of paying the owner. And they're going to discuss that a little bit more fully. So I think what we have here is, again, it seems like it was going to be, you know, a very sort of easy Mishnah to sort of understand. But what we actually see is that this concept of sort of like that the watcher, somebody who watches it, or, you know, the shomer or the shoel, sort of like they, it's almost in a way the object basically becomes transferred to them by taking some ownership over the fact that the article that was in their domain became lost or stolen or died or something like that. And therefore, it sort of gets transferred over to them when the thief is actually found, as long as they give that acknowledgement, even if they haven't actually paid for it yet in certain circumstances, which is really kind of remarkable. I think that's really the chiddush, that it can just be a pledge according to Rabbi Yochanan, and it doesn't even have to be that the payment has come through.
I think it's so difficult. Meaning, it's not difficult because now it's familiar to us and we understand and we accept it. But if somebody said, oh, let's just say that the pledge counts as if you have already paid, we'd say, what are you talking about? That makes no sense whatsoever. Right? Like that, it's like, how can you say that you've paid when you haven't paid?
Yeah, it's the idea that like you made the commitment. Right. I agree with you. Like, we know people who would say they did, especially now kind of like knowing this halacha, and they have no intention. So I don't know. I'm left with some questions about Rabbi Yochanan's opinion here. But the Gemara seems to accept it.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank us, review us where you get your podcast. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this DAF. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn. Thank you.